must not give up the fight. We must be like Moses. We've got to keep on trying. Canaan land is just inside.
There will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by.
Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Thursday night, actually Bible teaching night, and we're into 1 John, the book of 1 John, into chapter 2, and we're in chapter 2. All right, well, I hope everyone's doing good. It was, we had prayer this morning that went very, very good, and now we're going into the Bible teaching tonight. So let's see who is here with us. We have, is this Gigi and Randy? Hello.
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yeah. I was trying to get a hold of you last night, but you were.
I'm sorry. We've just been so tired. So that was part of the problem. It's just being really tired.
Okay.
So I'm sorry about that. But we're here now.
All right. And I'm glad that you're both here. And I'll say hello to Sister Sharon. Sister Sharon, how was your day?
Hi, Chaplain Dan. I had a pretty good day. And just kind of thinking on all the treatment that's going to be done tomorrow and praying that that goes well.
Yeah, that's one thing we'll pray about before the show's over, okay?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. All right. Then we have Sister Kathy. Hello, Sister Kathy.
Good evening.
And how was your day?
Well, it was fine. I got a lot done, but I've just been sneezing the last few minutes, I think 8 times. And I said, that's it. So hopefully that's it.
Okay. It is finished.
That's it.
And then we have Sister Rita. Hello, Rita.
Good evening, Chaplain John. And hello to everyone.
Hi, baby.
Hello.
All right. And then we have Sister Paula Jean.
Yes, good evening. It's been a good day. I've seen great progress with my leg, and I'm so grateful. I do believe it's going to be totally healed by March 3rd, which is when I have a schedule to talk to my doctor, and I don't think I'm going to have too much serious to talk to her about. And I'm just really praising God for the progress. And, of course, thanking Patty for his prayers and everybody else that's been praying.
Well, I got a nice report to tell you. I did go to the chiropractor today. And they were looking over my hand. And anyways, they attached to the chiropractor. This is the first one I went to that ever did this. They had a massage there. It would be like a medical massage, I guess you would call it. So, anyways, that was part of the first introduction to it. So the massage guy there, he really worked my hand over, and he said he felt fluid in my wrist when he was massaging me. He said, I don't like that fluid in your wrist. He said, you might have a, it might be small, but you might have a broken bone in there. And that could be what's causing the broken bone is like against the nerve. Now, the orthopedic surgeon x-rayed my hand and didn't see anything, but he definitely said, here, he says, right where I'm touching you there, that's where the fluid is. Shouldn't be there. So it was right next to where the numbness starts. Well, anyways, he really worked over my hand and my arm. But when he was finished, he said to me, how old are you? And I said, 76. So he goes, wow. He goes, you're so limber. That's what he said. And he said,
that's nice.
Yeah, yeah. And this is what he said. He said, you've got a lot of muscle tone. And then they did go over my x-ray. And chiropractor said that my bones were very young looking. They could tell in the neck they were looking at. He said, there's no very, very little aging in the bones. So they gave me a real, like, whatever you're doing, they said, continue doing it. So that was a very
That's good news.
Yeah, it was very good news. Very good news. So I was thanking the Lord for that. I was glad to get a young report.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, thank you.
That's great. Thanks for sharing it with us, too, to celebrate.
Yeah, yeah. It was, like I said, it was a very good report. They wanted me to get to this treatment. It's not a contract, but it's you start three times a week, two times a week, once a week, and all. And it was a lot of money, and I mean a lot of money. So if I can do anything there, I'll go on my own, like once a week for a while. But I liked it. I thought that they were I thought they were very good. I really liked it, but not the plan that they wanted to put me on.
Did you check to see if they take insurance, because some insurance covers certain amounts.
They take my insurance for 12 treatments.
Okay. Well, that's a good start.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. I think I would go like once a week for see how it goes.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, so it was a good day for me too. And we're going to be getting into 1 John. So, Sister Kathy, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Yes. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for all that's been accomplished this week through Abba Father International Fellowship. And we thank you for the good report of Nancy with her hip and bones and with Chaplain and his. So thank you for this good, clean bill of health, Lord, and progress and benefit. We thank you for the study of John. We thank you, God, that there is just so much to learn from this miraculous author. And we're just so thankful that you wrote the Bible for us through 40 different people over 1,500 years in three languages. God, it is just stellar, amazing. And thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, our guide, our reminder of what we've learned and what we've heard and our comforter. So right now, Father, we just thank you that you're just going to lead us into all truth and give us wisdom and revelation, knowledge and discernment through this study. And we just thank you for everyone here and all that will be listening in archive. And to you be the glory, honor, and praise. And we love you with all our heart, mind, soul, spirit, and our neighbor as ourself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, Sister Kathy. I don't know if you heard me or not, because as soon as I said, Sister Kathy, would you pray, the screen locked up. So
no.
I had to come out. Yes, I had to come out of Uber Conference and back into it. So yeah, when I came, you were praying.
Amen.
So this here has me a little with the PowerPoint. So hang on here. I'm working with the PowerPoint. Wow, we've done some serious teaching in First John, Sister Kathy.
Yes, sir.
We covered a lot more than I thought. Okay, we did the commandment. I remember that. Love one for another. I remember that. Okay, we are now at love not the world. Hang on, I'm almost there. There we are. Love not the world. That's in chapter 2. So we're going to look at it. Now remember, the very important thing to remember in 1 John is that why he wrote the book, that we could have fellowship, well, actually with one another and with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And then that our joy might be full. So everything in the book is how to get close to God. And then with that is joy. So right now, it's pretty obvious when we look at love not the world, that means that if we love the world, it doesn't go good with God, folks. Now, there's a balance with us of living in the world, needing things from the world, but not loving it, not loving it. It's like we use the world. But we don't want to love the world, because if we love the world, as 1 John says, the love of the Father is not in us. So it's if someone could have a lot of money, folks, and a lot of wealth, property and all, doesn't necessarily mean that they love the world. They might be blessed of God for some reason. But all those that love the world... And someone could have not so much money and be just a big total lust for the world. So I never, if people have a lot of money, I never judge that at all. Hey, God bless you, fine. A lot of wealth, big huge home and property, man, God bless you, fine. It's just the heart, not to love it, to not have it replace the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. So let's go over here now, take a look at the love, this teaching from 1 John. All right, it starts at 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now that's what this here, right there, what I just said. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's going directly after the fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's going to break that fellowship. And the any joy or any pleasure that comes from the world and not from God, it's shallow, folks, and it's short-lived. So the deep resting in our soul, the deep joy that can't be shaken, that comes from the love of the Father in us. And that, a lot of that's Abba Father, folks. Abba Father. That's the love that God really wants in us. A relationship where he is our Abba Father and we are his little children. So, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, there's three things coming in verse 16 that have to do about the what the love of the world is. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So there's three main things now. And this is when we, well, let me continue down to Genesis 3, back to Genesis 3:6. Genesis 3:6 is what Satan used to tempt Eve for them to fall into sin and rebel against God. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now, putting that in context there, that's Satan was tempting her from fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which God forbid her, them, to eat. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. So good for food would be looking at the verse 16. You got two things there, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh, so that was the tree was good for food. And then that it was pleasant to the eyes. There was the lust of the eyes. And the tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof and did eat. Now to make one wise, that's the pride of life. That's to make one wise separate from God. And that's what Satan was tempting her with. You shall be like God. So that's still how Satan deals with us with temptation, folks. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That hasn't changed. The temptations that caused Eve to fall in sin and Adam to fall in sin has not changed one bit, folks. It's still the same. And the weaknesses of Eve to fall into sin, it's still in each and every one of us right now. And so Satan doesn't have, you know, a new game plan. It's a tried and true one. That's what he uses. So we need to guard ourselves, because from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, because if we function in that realm, and in this world, it's normal, folks, and we still have that Adamic fallen nature, so it can be normal. It can be normal for us, you know, to have any of these. You know, now the pride of life, that's a little different than lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes. The pride of life could be position and power. And you want to do something. The person wants to do something and like to be exalted. That's what the pride of life is. I can see it real easy in like politicians. You can see that in politicians. They're full of the pride of life. You know, you can see it in conquerors. You know, you can see Hitler, full of pride of life. Stalin, Lenin, all of them. You know, you want to advance your agenda. Then people can, you know, the Nazis, followers of Hitler, they were full of the pride of life. You could look at the same thing with Islam, following the prophet Muhammad. Now, with us, it's humbleness. We don't want to bring any of the pride of life into God's church. We want to be humble before the Lord. But with the world, It's like we want to conquer the world. You know, you've got some conqueror, Napoleon, and everyone that's following him is full of the pride of life. So lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. So that was the three areas that Satan attacked Eve with. And of course, Adam just followed along. And they're still in play. And I've got a lot to, I got more to cover about that. But I want to follow it right now down to 1 John 2:17. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And the world passes away. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life will pass away, folks. It will pass away. That's a good question. When will it pass away? Well, when Christ returns, which of course we all feel is, you know, into the near future now, and he sets up his kingdom, these are still, especially the pride of life. Wow, you know, I'm starting to really think of something as I'm teaching this. Wow-wee. Yeah, let's run with this, folks. Let's run with this. If you're following me with the Bible, go to Revelation chapter 20. Now, hold on, I got to get my Bible here. This really, I think, really explains something. Let me get to Revelation chapter 20. Now, we know that Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Verse 2, Revelation 20, verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil. And Satan was bound and bound him for 1,000 years. So during the millennial reign, Satan's main job is really deception here, leading people by deception. So let's go down to Revelation 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of prison. And he shall go out and look at this, deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And they came up upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. During the millennial reign, the people there have a body like we have and a sin nature. And that's why they have to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Satan is bound. Now, Satan's main tool there, it says, is deception. So during the millennial reign, there is no uprising recorded in scriptures against the Lord. He's reigning from Jerusalem. Satan's loosed, and it says here, to deceive the nation. What did he deceive them with? You shall be like God, the pride of life. That's what they were deceived with. That's why they came against, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Satan could only use three things: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Maybe there was some lust of the flesh in it. Maybe there was some lust of the eyes in it, his deception. The big thing, folks, I think without a doubt, was the pride of life. They were deceived that they could, because that was the first deception with Eve. You shall be like God. And that's what they were tempted again with at the end of the millennial reign. Power. you all are going to be like God. And where did they go? They attacked Jerusalem, the beloved city, because that's where Jesus Christ was. It didn't last long. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So there is what the tool that Satan used at the end of Revelation there, 20. And he used the pride of life. He may have used all three, but for sure he used the pride of life, trying to overthrow Jesus Christ, sitting on his throne in Jerusalem. All right. Because I've often wondered, how could they do that? How could they rise up against the creator of the universe sitting on the throne of David in Jerusalem? The pride of life. Because that's man's nature. So it has to be one of those three things. Maybe it was all three, but the pride of life was the big one in this. They wanted to remove Jesus Christ from his throne and rule in his place. All right. Let's get back over here now. And till the world passeth away and the loss thereof. So it will be at the end of that, folks. The end of that uprising there, at the end of the millennial reign. That's when the world passeth away and the loss thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, I taught myself something here tonight, folks. And because it doesn't change. Man's nature does not change. Sin will be sin 1,000 years from now as it is now. But they're not going to be able to sin during the millennial reign when Jesus is sitting as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All right, let's pick up on this now. Where John, 1 John 2:17. That's a powerful verse to preach. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. All right, now let's look at some more scriptures about the world and the love of the world. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I think that scripture is like a warning, folks, for us. You know, for the most part, and for most time in history, the world hates us. It's not always been like that. There have been lighter times. But generally, the world hates us. And we have to be careful. I'll tell you what this is like unto. It's like with the Jews. Like the Jews can be, what's going on right now, the Jews are in the world and they're all friendly. They want to blend into the world in the worst way. They don't want to be any different than, I'm going to say, not like us, but they don't want to be any different than, they want to blend in with liberalism is where they'll fit. And they want to hide in there. So the Jews can be great friends of the world. But it always, folks, something always happens. Like right now, you know, we've had that going back to October 7th, 2023. One day, October 6th, the Jews were comfortable in the world. October 8th, man, it was like they're stunned. The Jews were stunned. They didn't fit. For the most part, they didn't fit. It was rioting on the college campuses. It was big, massive riot parades and stuff, sometimes riots in the streets, all against the Jews. It was in Europe. It was in many other countries in the world. See, so they were nestled in here in America, which was a blessing for the nation because we were treating them without any malice. And God will bless that. But there comes a time when he has to move on the Jews because they'll lose Judaism. They'll they'll blend in so far and so deep that they'll lose Judaism. So things happen to bring them back. And that's what's happening. That's what we're in the process of right now. What we're seeing right now, huge numbers, Jews are being back to Judaism, that they are Jews. And the world let them know it. And they thought that they fit in certain places, just they were a Jew, but they fit in just like everybody else. And now they don't. That's the way we are to be, folks. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. Because if we're really friends with the world, some way or another, we have to compromise. That's what I believe. We have to compromise. Maybe you compromise of not being a witness to the Lord. Maybe you compromise, or we could compromise a little bit of sin. You know, go out to the bar and drink, or go to some restaurant and have lots of drinks there for some meeting to get a promotion and things like that. So there are a lot of ways. Maybe as a politician, you'd compromise voting. Pressure comes on you as a politician to vote a certain way, which is against principles of the Lord. But to go along with politics and the party, which is the world, you do it. So we have to be very, very careful as believers how we keep ourselves with the world, because that will hurt our fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Remember, that's the most important thing. In fact, look at verse 17. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So what abides forever? What we compromise at work, we'll say, or business, or the principles of God? Once we start compromising, we're losing fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Because this is written so we don't, so we have fellowship, and then our joy may be full. So the big thing is we have to have a vision into the future, into eternity, and not narrow, like just day by day by day. We need that big vision into the future, and being with God for eternity. We don't want to compromise things now. The world, what a powerful verse, folks. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We drop down. Well, you know what? In light of what I'm talking about, I can remember people I work with, and the pride of life is they wanted to be, they were an agent, but they wanted to be a supervisor. And they had big visions of becoming maybe the director of my organization. And they had where they lived, they could afford the house. It was very nice. And then they moved. They moved to get a promotion so that they could be a supervisor. Or they moved to become a supervisor. Next thing you know, they're choking in debt. The wife and the kids are unhappy. There's huge problems, folks. Huge. Yeah, I know a couple people like that. And the pride of life got to them. And it just destroyed their family. For what reason? The pride of life. And God always blessed me because I lived in nice places, but not of high debt at all. So I wasn't under stress like that. But some people I work with, incredible stress, and it was nothing more than the pride of life. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And it says here, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Men love darkness. So what do they love, folks? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. So here is the battle now. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. So here's light to the people. But men love darkness. They love sin rather than light because their deeds were evil. So what was driving force of that sin? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Sin fits into at least one or maybe all the categories. The basis for sin is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. So are we going to, are people going to follow the light? That's Jesus Christ, which is dying to lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and humbling ourselves so we're not drawn into the pride of life. That's where repentance comes in, when turning 180 degrees. Are we going to follow denying self, or are we going to follow gorging on the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life? But that's why, folks, people didn't flock to Jesus Christ, or even today. You know, there's always a certain amount, and that's a mystery to me. Why is it that it's usually a remnant? Now, sometimes in a revival, there can be huge numbers of people coming to the Lord. Huge. Maybe turn a majority in some areas. But generally, it's a remnant that come to the Lord. But why not? Why is that, folks? I'm just tossing it out. Why is it that, and then even within the body of believers, there's that kind of a remnant. Why? I've asked myself that many, many, many times. I'll scratch my head, go, what? Why is, I know it's spiritual and I know all that, but why is it that it's a remnant that come to the light? And sometimes there's a remnant within a remnant. Now, here's the danger of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. He also, this is Matthew 13:22, this is about the sower of the seed, and the seed is the word of God. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world. What's the care of this world? It's the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And the deceitfulness of riches, pride of life, choke the word, and it become unfruitful. So, coming to Christ, for salvation, there's danger for people there. The word, they hear the word, they respond to it, maybe there's no repentance. And that means if there's no repentance, that the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches can choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. So there are those things of the world there are ready to choke the word. And unless it's in fertile ground where the person repents, has real bona fide repentance. That's why repentance is so important. Because what are we repenting of? One way or another, repenting is going to lead to the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And that's how the word gets a start in us. And then we can get deep roots. That's why repentance is so important. But there's the world, folks. Matthew 13:22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So to maintain a deep relationship with God, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, we can't let the world choke the word and becomes unfruitful. So that's why we got to always think, like with big decisions, you know, should I move here, take this job and move here? Or would that put me in a position, in my family in position, for the word to be choked there and become unfruitful. Because what is it in the big run, folks, in this world, you live, I'm going to say, high on the hog, as the world would say, for 20, 30, 40 years, but then eternity. And I'm not necessarily saying that the person is going to be eternally damned, but they're not going to be fruitful for the Lord. And there are tremendous things that carry into eternity when we are faithful and sold out to Jesus Christ rather than compromised by the world. In fact, though, there is a danger. There is a danger of the world becoming so strong that we like die on the vine. The world can be, in fact, Hebrews warns about that. The book of Hebrews warns about it, especially chapter 3. So we have, yeah, there is a danger being taken into the world. So it's very, very, very important that we live recognizing that our weakness is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, and that we don't want to compromise that. We don't want that to compromise our faith with the Lord. For what? 20, 30, 40 years compared to eternity? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. All right. We still have more. Matthew 4:8. Again, the devil taketh him up. Now, this is the Lord's temptation when Satan tempted him. The Lord had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was out in the wilderness. And the devil, let's read it. Matthew 4:8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then following through this with John 14:30 and 1 John 5:19, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. 1 John 5:19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, when God created the earth, and he created Adam at that time, he told Adam to name all the animals and that. And authority was given to Adam and Eve. Authority was given to them. But when they sinned, it was like they lost that authority, and now Satan was the one that was in control. And we could see here in Matthew 4:8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So the world now here is under the control. Is under the control of Satan, because he said, I will give them to thee. If he didn't have authority, Jesus wouldn't be tempted. These were the three temptations that Jesus was put under. So Satan has authority over these world kingdoms. We live in a sin-fallen world, and the kingdoms are under Satan. Now that's why we have to take them back, like the way the United States was formed. Satan still has, because of sin, he has a wedge anywhere there's sin. But we were not created like a Muslim nation or pagan nations and things like that. This was blessed because of God's people back years and years and years ago. So that we can call down principalities, bring down principalities and powers in this world because of the power that God has, because of power in the name of Jesus Christ. That's why, folks, what happened in the election, this recent election, God's people, the remnant, cried out to him seriously. It was lots of prayer going on in many ways, in many places, repentance, which encouraged me. Because as long as I saw that, I knew there was hope. So we were able to penetrate Satan's kingdom and pull down those principalities and powers. And that's why Satan was able to tempt Jesus, because when man fell into sin, he transferred the authority like that to Satan. But it's wonderful that we have the ability, we have the power to defeat that kingdom of Satan's, kingdom of darkness, if you will fall down and worship it. John 14:30, Satan is called the prince of this world, cometh, and he hath nothing in me. Jesus was without sin, so Satan had no authority over him. None, zero, not a bit. Hereafter I will not talk much with you. He's talking to the disciples. For the prince of this world cometh. So Jesus is preparing for the battle, and hath nothing in me. He has no legal right over Jesus Christ. Every sinner, I guess you could say he does, unless they're under the protection of God. For the prince of this world cometh, and he has nothing in me. So yeah, the prince of this world was right up there where Satan took Jesus to the devil there. The devil is the prince of this world. And then 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Under the prince of this world, under the devil. So that hold is coming. That's going to be broken soon, folks. That's going to be broken soon. The whole world lieth in wickedness. When Jesus Christ returns, the whole world lieth in righteousness. Any deviation of righteousness will be handled immediately by the Lord. Sin will not be tolerated during his millennial reign. The whole world lieth in wickedness. So it's really, folks, if we absorb that, what God did, with the creation of America, was somewhat of a miracle, folks. Because there really had not been a country like America going back into history. But it was built on Christianity with a lot and lots and lots of believers here. We had the first Great Awakening at that time, and a huge percentage of the country came to the Lord. Then through the years, we had the Second Awakening, the Third Awakening, Azusa Street, Jesus Revolution. I mean, amazing things God did for this nation, folks. Well, now we've had this political revival. This is out of the ordinary, spiritually speaking, because the whole world lieth in the wickedness, but it's believers standing on the word of God, repenting and confessing sins, our own sins and sins of the nation. And that's what allows God to move. Otherwise, we've got nations Islam and Hinduism, paganism, and communism, and Nazism. We had, they had Nazism there 80 years ago. Communism's still here. Why are we as we are? because our forefathers stood on the Word of God. That's why. When you stand on the Word of God, the prince of this world, power, can be broken and removed. And that's why America is the way it is. People stood on the Word of God, honored Jesus Christ, and God honored them. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. So the Lord's done a mighty work in us when we come to Him as our Savior. We have the ability to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. It's powerful, folks. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. It's just as powerful now as it was with Adam and Eve. In Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former lifestyle, the old man. Paul writes, the old man is our sin nature, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. And that's another thing. Lust can be extremely deceitful. You know, lust for alcohol, lust for drugs, and many other lusts can be ending up drug addicts dead from overdoses of drugs. So here, we teach about this, or I teach about this, that you put off concerning the former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and that you, the next verse, 23 there, it talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then when our mind is renewed, verse 24 says, and that you walk in righteousness and true holiness. So we can go, that's the amazing thing about this, we can go from living with the old man, that sin nature, given over to deceitful lusts. God can work so powerfully in our life that we're renewed in the spirit of our mind, and that enables us to walk in the new life with God and in righteousness. That is a real miracle, folks. That's tremendous power of God, to be under the control of the old man and then be, through the renewing of our mind, walking with the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wow. All right, folks. That is Love Not the World. And we all have to be careful of it, because the world is so natural to us, folks. And the world, it depends, folks. I mean, I know in my own family, it's sort of all past now, but when I came to the Lord, there was trouble with my mother in particular. And we had to work out an agreement to, like, kind of function. So the agreement was she wouldn't talk about certain things and I wouldn't talk about the Lord. You know, it was sad. I mean, I had the grandkids and all, and they wanted to be with the grandmother. And not only that, my grandmother was there with her and my sister. So, and then my father, he got mocking the Lord. So I had to stop. I could say little things to him about the Lord. That's all. So sometimes there's, with this world, you know, you think they'd love to hear about the Lord, the eternal life, and Jesus is coming, the blessed hope and all. But, you know, there's darkness, and the darkness and light doesn't mix a lot most of the time. You know, most of the time doesn't mix. Okay, that's Love Not the World. So remember, the goal is fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, that your joy may be full. So as we pull out of the world and we've got that fine line between being in the world and not of the world. Oh, wait, there's another verse from Revelation. Revelation 20, verse 4. Revelation 18, rather, verse 4. Let me go back. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Yeah, so there's a, you just have to be careful of getting into that system where there's all sorts of money and power, and we can get into that and away from God. And time goes on, you get further away from God, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit becomes a whisper. But we have to be careful, folks. The world, remember, is powerful. It is powerful. If we go into it, if we stay out, the power of God protects us. All right, so let's see now who we've got with us. Okay. Anybody has any questions, you can call in 717-409-5553. And I have my assistant here with me, Danny Boy. He just came in. He's sitting here next to me. So if I have any questions that I can't handle, I'll ask Danny Boy. All right. Paula Jean, any comments or questions?
Well, I definitely love this book. And I think, I know for me, it's been God's mercy and grace that has pulled me into really wanting to know how to hear the Father's voice. And that, of course, calls you into how to walk as he wants you to walk, and how to submit to his handiwork. And that leaves you looking in the scriptures for answers. And the books that you're studying right now and plan to study after this one, I think have been really key for me in helping me to have peace about proceeding, because it's not all my doing. It's actually learning how to allow him to do. And this continues to affirm that, and yet to notice how the enemy works. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's part of what you were talking about in the latter part of this lesson, is learning how to discern, because he gives us eyes to see and ears to recognize what we're hearing, so that we can refute that and call forth the truth where he feeds us the lies. And that helps to renew our mind, you know. And so I'm just so grateful that he does. He tells us elsewhere in his word to seek out the truth. And those who seek are rewarded and being allowed to find. And I think what you're doing right now, you're teaching the books that he's brought me to during this season. And so I'm totally thrilled because he's got you going where he had me going. And so I'm getting double reinforcement in my learning, and I'm very grateful.
Amen. And First John is just a wonderful, wonderful. I know we've discussed this already. It's just, it's in a different atmosphere or level than like what Paul is writing about. And I'm very careful not to pit them against each other. It's just different. It's just different.
Yeah, it is. Different function.
Yeah. So, but John just seems to have I'm at loss for words for it. It's smooth, like, and it's hard hitting, I mean, the parts of First John are hard hitting, but it's smooth. It's like you're being lectured by an older man, wise in the ways of the world, and where his, like, maybe grandchildren, and where his little children, and he's there lecturing us. And that's the way I see it. I feel it.
I feel like he massages us with the love of the Lord.
Yeah.
I really get the sense that the love he has comes through his words, regardless of whether the tough words, that's called tough love, but it's coming with love. And that's, I think, what makes it so smooth, what you're talking about, is we can receive it.
Yeah.
Because we're almost being massaged by the love of the Lord as he delivers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just different. I think the delivery of it is different. Like, all the Gospels are the same in that they're presenting, like, the ministry of Jesus Christ. But John's is more of a story, although the other three are also. They're talking about the exploits of the Lord. But John just seems to be more of like a storyteller. That's enough. It's just that that's why I seem to be drawn more to John's writings.
I have one more thing. It's like something about how it's written and who he was, because who he was is put into it. And that it opens up our ears and helps us to hear deeper. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. But I do notice, Sister Paula Jean, a lot of people express what I'm saying also. There are a lot of people that are ministered to, like I'm trying to explain. Because at church, I'm talking to the people, and I say, well, maybe after the revelation, I might start teaching First John. I'm teaching it now. Oh, I love First John. If I say I'm going to be teaching a book of Romans, well, that's a good book. You know, it's a lot to get out of it. But I hear people say, oh, I love First John. You know, a lot of people say that. That's their reaction.
Well, praise the Lord that a lot of people have studied it and been blessed by it. Because the crowd that I used to go with, you know, the churches weren't teaching it that much. And so I'm pleased to hear that it's being taught and people are reading it. Yeah, that's really great.
Okay. All right. So let's see who's next here. And we have Sister Sharon.
Yes. I am kind of amazed with the study of John. And it's got three words. And just that the whole thing means that we get rid of the thoughts we have of this earth, you know, like money, candy, whatever, and go to be with God and live for God and Jesus and stuff. And that to me is what I'm getting out of this study. It's, the old man, the old world, get away from it. You don't need it. And be with the Lord Jesus.
Yes, right. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But we have to, we are in the world, but not of the world.
Right.
So there's, Sister Sharon, there could be someone that has an enormous amount of money, all right? Maybe they inherited it. Maybe they are inventors and they've invented things that go, they went to school and became engineers and doctors and all. So I don't judge anyone, because someone might not have a lot of money and might have a tremendous right. lust for it, you know? So if someone is given, right. if someone worked hard and God blessed them with the ability to invent things and they, okay, all right, you know, but it's how you are reacting to it. You don't have to be right. multimillionaire to be caught up in loving the world and the, you know, the lust thereof.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. I agree with you. You can have nothing and be caught up with the world and the lust and stuff and not have Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So you got a lot out of the study tonight?
Yeah, I did. What really amazed me is, like I think I mentioned earlier, you have like one little word, and like the word lust, and there's a, it's all over the Bible.
Yes.
Even though we're studying
yes.
John, these words are all over.
Yes. Yeah. And there's little things in different books of the Bible that all, like, there could be a huge chunk in First John, but then there's a verse in this book, two verses in that book, another verse over here, and you incorporate it
right.
in, and you've got this big picture type thing. Yeah.
Right. Right.
All right, Sister Karen. Thank you.
And thank
we,
you.
We have Gigi and Randy.
Yes. I like the whole book, like Paula Jean was saying. But I really like the connection back to Genesis of the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life.
Yeah.
I love that because it shows the connection between the beginning
right.
and what is happening throughout history and even today and what afflicts us.
Yes. So it's the same. The temptations are
yes.
exactly the same.
Yes. So I really like that. That's a good reminder to be aware of it.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Watch out. Yeah.
Because
it's like a pit.
well, as we grow in the Lord, we grow away from that. You know, we grow away from it. But there's always a danger, you know, especially, I guess you could say, newer in the Lord, of those are the areas that we can get drawn away from. You know, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life can really hamper us with God. So,
but I will say not very many people actually explain what those three terms mean. They don't actually explain it so that you can understand what it is, so you can watch out for it.
Right. Well, the pride of life I did. Lust of the flesh is pretty, you know, explainable. I mean, flesh nature, fleshly things. But the pride of life, I think, is one that's a little difficult. They wanted to be like God.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. Satan told them that they were being deprived and that, you know, God was a bad God and but if you, you know, you can be like God, you can be like God, you can be your own God. And that's still there today.
It sure is.
Yeah, it sure is right. Oh, yeah. And that's going to be big at the end with the beast and the false prophet. And the image of the beast, the 666 system, that's all tying in to be, you know, you can be like, we all could be little gods, probably. That's what the beast. And you can.
So that's what these new agers are doing. Shirley MacLaine did that years ago. She's out on the beach screaming, I am God.
You know, is she still alive?
I have no idea. But I just remember seeing a short video of her doing something like that, and I thought, wow.
Yeah, oh, I remember her vividly claiming she was New Age, a New Ager, and that she was a goddess. she became a goddess through this new age.
Right.
Yeah, she proclaimed that she was a goddess.
Yeah.
And I think she claimed it. I think it was she was tied in with reincarnation too, if I remember
correctly. Probably. Yeah, she thought. I think you're right.
Because we were all laughing back. I don't know when that was. It had to be back in the. It wasn't the 60s. No, it was probably the 70s. No. It was probably the 70s.
Yeah, I think it was actually around 1980, maybe.
Yeah, it could be.
Pretty late, yeah. But it's very sad when you think about it.
Yeah, she declared to the world she was a goddess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea. Sister Kathy, can you look and see if Shirley MacLaine is still alive by any chance? Is she still a goddess?
She's a goddess in hell. No, she's dead.
Is she, Sister Kathy?
Yeah, let me find out how long ago.
I just don't remember that. I think I would have remembered. We'll just wait for Sister Kathy.
Somebody else that died. She is still alive.
That's what I thought.
And she was born in 1934.
Wow.
And her brother died. But
she's in her 90s.
She's come off of her high horse on being a goddess. She's back down to humanity.
Humanity, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought she was still alive, Sister Kathy. I would have picked up if she had passed away because she was so, I mean, I can still remember about the things she was saying. How many years ago was that? Yeah. 20, 45 years ago. Okay. And then anything else, Gigi and Randy?
No, I just asked Randy. He said no. That was good. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Sister Rita?
Yes, Captain John. I love the first book of John. And the teaching was really good tonight, and I was well blessed. And so thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And as we don't love the world, we grow closer in fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. As we read 1 John, we got to keep in mind the reason that John wrote it. That has to be in the forefront of our mind. Well, the way we grow closer to God is and have fellowship with Him is not love the world. Okay. Anything else, Sister Rita?
No. Just thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Now, Sister Kathy, did I miss you? I don't remember talking to you.
No, you didn't. I had to hang up.
All right.
And, But I was just looking there. I got a text from somebody and I wanted to see if you are aware of it and if it is actual the truth or if it's fake news. Please pray. Urgent request. Pray for the church in India. Yeah. Last night they burned 20 churches. Tonight they want to destroy over 200. They want to kill 200 missionaries in the next 24 hours, and all Christians are hiding. Pray for them. And then it says that there have been hundreds of men and women and children beheaded, and that now the Islamic group has taken control of Quora Gosh or something, the largest Christian city in Iraq. So do you know if any of that is accurate?
I don't know about Iraq, but I do know what I heard this morning was there were, I think, 50 beheaded in India and churches burnt in that. So I know that it may be much more,
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that they would say, and they want to kill 200 missionaries in the next 24 hours. That's just kind of, that just was what was so weird. You know, a specific number in a certain amount of time.
All right. Well, yes. In fact, I'm glad you brought it up, because when I read it this morning, I wanted to contact Bishop Reinhardt to find out if he was involved in or anybody in the church was involved in this.
And isn't Dove due to go pretty soon?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Mm. He is. I think May, I think.
Okay.
I know he's going to Israel soon.
Oh, I thought those were going to piggyback off each other.
Mm, I think there's a gap between them.
Okay.
Know, mm-hmm. All right, Sister Kathy.
Don? So,
yes.
Don?
Yes.
I just texted CBN Christian Broadcasting Network, has information on that. I just texted a short film to Kathy.
Let me, and it was in the blue text, the blue messages.
Just the regular
okay,
phone.
I'll, gosh, I don't know if I can get that to him or not.
Well, just tell us, Sister Kathy, if you...
Well, I mean, I was going to text it to you so you could play it on there. On there. All right, hold on. Yeah, they destroyed 300 churches in...
India's northeastern state of Manipur is making headlines.
Manipur means land of jewels.
Outside the capital, armed guards protect a Kuki village.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Kathy, that was before. That was a year ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but there's got to be, there's lots and lots of posts on there.
But, okay, I just sent the one that came up to Chaplain. So that would be a long time ago then, huh? Oh, well.
Well, today there was, like I said, there was beheadings. And churches burnt. That did happen.
Lord.
Kathy, as you said it, as you originally said it to us, it definitely sounded like Muslim uprising. And hearing about it elsewhere as well, it seems almost planned to go.
Yeah. Yeah, orchestrated for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Muslim or Hindu. The vast... The Muslims
in India, you think Hindu, but because of the style of, killing, that reminds me more of the Muslims.
No, the Hindus now, now are just like the Muslims.
Well, Islamic is what has taken control of Iraq area. It's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
okay.
So that would be a totally different.
All right. Well, we covered First John, and we want everybody to be in fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and we want your joy to be full. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for First John and Second and Third John and all of John's writings, Lord. There is a, it's just different than others, Lord. There's something different about John, and we have to say he's like a Abba Father, and we're like little children, and he's telling us like stories. It's more like a story that he's telling. He has the ability to present it like that. So we thank you, Lord. And so many people respond with I love First John, I love First John. So thank you, and I know. I was drawn, as I was reading the Bible, I was drawn to First John when I was a young believer. So thank you for that, Lord. And so I ask great blessings on everybody tonight, that they will all have gotten something out of loving not the world, Lord, and that loving you, and let the world, let's keep at arm's length with the world, Lord. Let's be in the world, but not of the world, Lord. there's that fine line, not being drawn after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or pride of life. Thank you, Lord. So let us all be strong in you, Lord. If there's any problem with lust of the flesh, eyes, pride of life, Lord, I ask for victory. I ask for victory, Lord. Because the First John tells us that we can be overcomers. We can overcome this. And we want all, in this ministry, Lord, we want everyone to be overcomers. Everyone to be strong in you, Lord. Everyone to be free in you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sister Kathy, do you have anything to pray along those lines? If you could, like, we want to focus now on victory in Christ.
Yes. You know. Yes. Yeah, Father, you assured the victory when you said we're more than conquerors. You assured the victory when you had Jesus die on the cross, be resurrected and ascend and be waiting in heaven to return for us. So the victory is assured. The victory is ours. It's promised, and you're watching over your promises to perform them. So we thank you. And right now, Lord, we need to work as if it is the last days, because it is. And we're praying for the Lord of the harvest, that's you, to send laborers into the fields that are white for picking, which is could be us and it could be angels. Well, it's both. So, Lord, thank you that you give us this space and time. You give us this window in reality to see this happen. So thank you for the engrafted word of God. Thank you for the quick and powerful spirit of Jesus that was raising him from the dead that is in us. And we just love you with all our heart, mind, soul, spirit, and our neighbor as ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Paula Jean, please pray that we're all for victory over the lust of the flesh, eyes, and proud of life, and fellowship with the Father.
So, Heavenly Father, this is what we are grateful that you are showing us how to receive your ways and release the ways of the past, no longer lusting after the flesh, things, or people, or status, Father, but rather relationship with you. And Father, I do pray that you send the comforter for those who have lost loved ones. And I pray that the comforter will bring them comfort in the promises that their loved ones have because of their walking with you and believing in you, that they will see their loved ones again, and that currently their loved ones will be blessed being with you, but it's the comfort they need with the loss. And I pray that that be provided, and that their hope in you not be stolen, but rather they be able to have it reinforced by your presence with them and the promises in your word. We do pray that we all become overcomers of whatever the enemy throws our way, and that you be glorified with each success and victory that Jesus walks us through. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay, Sister Sharon.
Okay, yes. Okay, yes, I also pray that we come to you, dear Father God, and we do not be people of this world, but we all want to be with you. So we just get rid of the thoughts of having all the garbage that's in the world when we can be in heaven with you and have a wonderful, wonderful relationship with you and others who believe. I just thank you for that, dear Father God. I thank you so much for that. And also an issue that needs to be prayed for is Charles' mother is having surgery tomorrow morning. We all need to pray for her, and her, I think her name's Amy, and pray for Charles as he waits for this all to get done. And I just thank you, dear Father God, that you will be with her on the scene. You'll be with Charles and lift Charles up, and Charles will not be of this world either, and he will be a believer in you through this, and everything will go fine. And in your name I do pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Gigi and Randy.
And what would you like me to pray for? I am going to pray for the Christians in India.
No, we want to pray for that we're all protected from the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. You know, we'll all grow closer to God as our Abba Father, things like that.
Okay, that's fine. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life, and that you are also the living word. And we thank you for this teaching that comes right out of your word. We thank you that we see that the Old Testament and the New Testament are connected, as is your whole word. It's a whole story, not just parts, but a whole story. And we thank you that you showed us the beginning, the middle, and the end. And we are grateful for this hope that we have of our soon and returning King. And we want to pray over our country, and that the people that are now in power, that you would give them mercy. You would draw them all to yourself, Jesus. And we thank you. We thank you for this, an interlude between what could have happened, which would have been terrible, and what has happened now. So we ask you to protect everyone of them in our government that are there trying to do the right thing. I thank you. I think he was the new director of HUD, and a lot of these people pray, but they pray in the name of God. But this man ended his prayer. It was a wonderful prayer, and he ended his prayer in your name, Jesus. And it was just wonderful. And everybody said amen, which is great. So we pray that all those people that are not saved because of you, Jesus, that they would be saved, that you would convict them and you would show them who you really are, and that you would lead and guide them to do the right thing. And we pray against any kind of violence towards any of them. And we pray that this overhaul would be good for everyone. And we just thank you and we praise you in advance for what has already happened, but is what is in the process of happening, and what we are praying for all these years and repenting for all this evil. And we thank you that it's being exposed, and we pray that it would be punished according to your law, and that you would help these people, especially the ones that are in danger, especially Tom Homan and our military and our National Guard and the border patrols and all of these different people. And I pray for I think there were ranchers down in Texas that were killed by a device, excuse me, that blew up and killed the rancher and his wife down in Texas at the border. And so we pray that you would protect all these people that live on the border, that have ranches and have been there for generations. And we also, Lord, we lift up our fellow brethren in India. There's some pretty widespread violence going on there and in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And I just saw today that there Boko Haram is doing really terrible, terrible things to Christians and others in Nigeria. So we want to lift up Pastor Abel there and his church and the other Christians, strengthen them, Lord, and protect them and warn them so that they can be protected. And we want to continue to pray for Evangelist John and his family and the church there. That was a really traumatic thing that happened, and we thank you that you saved him. And we want to bless those police officers that went there. We pray that you would save them and save their families, Lord, and also to bless and save whoever it was that put them on the job of finding him. And we just bless them. And I want to pray that you would teach us through your word how to obey you, and that we would be convicted as we read the word and as we study the word, which is, I remember as a brand new Christian sitting at the table studying my Bible, I didn't know anything, and yet you convicted me as I was reading the word. And so I thank you that you can teach us directly. We thank you for the teachers that are teaching the Bible that we have contact with. And we just want to thank you and praise you. And I just pray a blessing over each and every one of us, that we would be able to understand, recognize, and overcome the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And that you would show us, it's not just that we get convicted, Lord, but that you show us how to obey you and how to repent and obey you, and that your Holy Spirit would prompt us so that we could maybe think about things in a different way or take a different approach or just understand something in a deep way that we haven't before. And only that can come through your Holy Spirit. And so I just pray for each and every one of us that you would teach us how to listen more carefully to you, how to pray before we do anything, and that you would protect each one of us. You would encourage us, you would deliver us, you would heal us, and that your guidance is what we need more than anything else in this whole world. We need your guidance. So we're thanking you in advance because that is your will, and we want to follow you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. And then we have Rita.
Okay. Father, I give you thanks for all that you have blessed me with, Father. I love you, Father, and I praise you, Father. Father, you have said in your word that if we pray anything in the name of your Son, that you would give it to us, Father, and that you sent your Son to die for the world, that we may have life, and that we may have it more abundantly, Father. And also, Father, you have said that sin shall not have dominion over us, Father. Father, you have, in your words, you have given us hope that we may live an abundant and blessed life here on earth, Father, and that we may be good witnesses to the unsaved that is around us, Father. Father, I ask that you would forgive and heal America, Father, and that you would turn America back to you, Father. Protect Trump and protect him, Father, from the evil men and women of this world that wants to do him harm, and guide and direct him in the direction that you want him to lead America, Father. And I pray for the saving that J.D. Vance and his wife will come to the saving knowledge of your precious Son. I thank you, Father, for dying for the world, that we may have life, that we may have it more abundantly. For I pray this all, Father, in the name of my, in the glorious name and holy name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. Wow. The time went fast. We'll call it a night, and we'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. And then tomorrow night, it's Sister Kathy and Sister Sharon and others are there for prayer. It starts at 9 p.m. Eastern and goes and goes and goes. So God bless everybody. It was a good night tonight. First John is just a great blessing. So God bless you. And, in case I don't see you, God willing, Saturday we will be, we will have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So God bless you. And even so, come, Lord Jesus.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave life everlasting, his life everlasting, his life everlasting. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his only begotten Son.